freedom is precisely what must be destroyed if this is to be turned into a fundamentally different country to suit Obama's vision of the country and of himself.
Look, folks, there comes a time when it's time to stop fiddling while America burns.
That's right. Woo!
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
And every time they mess with it, they make it worse.
What they are trying to do is create an America very unlike the America that has existed for centuries.
And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
This is KLZ, Freedom 560, with your host, Ken Clark.
So the lead up to the 2016 presidential election gets more and more bizarre every day when you've got Republicans acting like Democrats, Democrats standing up for the protections of the businesses in the United States. You kind of wonder what is going on. Then you've got Hillary Clinton. Man, I that just is a train wreck of epic proportions. I mean, the scandal-ridden Clinton administration going back to the 90s. Now you've got Hillary throwing down yet again for her second presidential run. And scandal after scandal after scandal. But there's something going on also that is very interesting. And she came out recently and started talking about voting laws. Vote and how she wants everybody to be registered to vote the day they turn 18, among other things. So here to talk about that, and he has written an article about it, Clinton Gets Everything Wrong on Voting. Hans von Spakovsky is here to join us once again talking about voter laws. Hans, welcome to Freedom 560.
Ken, it's great to talk to you again.
It is great to have you on the air with me again, sir. So tell me about this. Clinton Gets Everything Wrong on Voting. Please explain.
Well, look, this was really a political speech, and she tried to scare voters all over the country, including in Texas, and particularly voters who make up the Democratic base, into thinking that there's this massive conspiracy to try to prevent them from voting by doing common sense things like requiring voter ID. Now, we know that's not true. The majority of the American people don't agree with that. They support voter ID. But that was basically what she was saying. And, you know, she also was saying that the Republicans were fear-mongering about voter fraud. I mean, she basically dismissed the idea that there's any voter fraud that occurs. You know, I kind of pointed out in an article I wrote about it, that it was pretty ironic that she was making that claim at Texas Southern University, which is only about 200 miles from the county in Texas that is the home of the infamous ballot box 13. And for folks who don't know what that is, you know, that's the ballot box that was stuffed with fraudulent votes in the 1948 Senate primary election to give Lyndon Baines Johnson a fraudulent victory in that Senate race and launched him on his political career.
Now, that's interesting. I've been down to the Texas border, and I visited some of the legislators that are elected inside Texas and had the opportunity to talk to them. And we were talking about this amnesty thing, Obama's executive amnesty. And they told me, under no uncertain terms, Democrats and Republicans alike both said the same thing, that it's all about votes. And then you've got Hillary coming out and saying, oh, the Republicans just don't want anybody to vote. They're trying to suppress the vote. Blah, blah, blah. And that's categorically untrue. All we're interested in is fair and honest elections. Hans?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. And I have to tell you, they are right about the fact that Hillary and others want to get as many non-citizens into the country as possible, so they will register and vote. And let me tell you, one of the other ways we know that. In her speech, you know, she complained about Wisconsin. She said that Wisconsin had changed its law to try to restrict students from voting. No, what Wisconsin did was, Wisconsin's got a law that says that the state universities there can send lists to local election officials of students in particular dorms so that they can get registered to vote. the change that Wisconsin made is they said, well, when you send us that list from the dormitory, you've got to certify that all these students are U.S. citizens. Now, why would that be a problem unless you want to be sure that the many students, you know, we have students from all over the place that come here to study, unless you want to be sure that they are able to vote without getting caught.
Wow, that's amazing. And so that's what all that brouhaha was about. I did not know that. I didn't understand that that was the distinction they were trying to make.
Yeah, and look, she pushed other things. She once again talked about felon voting and how she wants a federal law that forces all the states to immediately give people back the right to vote the moment they step out of prison, even if they haven't yet paid restitution or anything like that. First of all, that's up to the states to decide. You know, the federal government doesn't have that power. But it tells you again, why do they want felons voting? Well, because they believe that a majority of them will vote for Democrats.
Yeah, they do. And that's been part of the problem. Now, voter IDs have a lot of support nationwide. They have support here in Colorado, and they do have support. And I don't see why that is such an issue, because anybody who's a citizen can get an ID of some sorts. I mean, it just doesn't matter. You can. And so that, to me, is one way to protect the integrity of the voting system. Now, in Colorado, we've doubled down on stupid. We've got same-day voter registration and all mail-in ballots, and there is no way to guarantee the integrity of our elections when you've got somebody that can show up with a utility bill that they can print off the internet, register to vote, and then vote in Colorado. That's the kind of system that they want to push nationwide.
Yeah, it is, and they want to go a step even further. You know, she also pushed what she called universal voter registration, which is to automatically register people to vote from government databases. Now, you and I both know, I don't know about you, but I'm in multiple government databases, and this would lead to multiple registrations of the same people in the same state. It would lead to people being automatically registered in different states. There are plenty of databases that have non-citizens in them. Those folks would also get automatically registered.
That voice you're hearing is the one and only Hans von Spakovsky, and he is here. We're talking about voter integrity. He's manager, Election Law Reform Initiative, and senior legal fellow. And we're talking about what this push that Hillary Clinton is trying to do. Now, here in Colorado, we have run into an issue, getting back to what you just said, Hans, where if you are a property owner and you own property in different counties, you will receive on ballot initiatives on local elections ballots from all these different counties simply because you happen to be a landowner in these different counties. So you're going to get multiple ballots. That's a problem, and they haven't been able to identify that.
Yeah, and what they're expecting to rely on people not to take advantage of that? Well, most people won't, but other people will. I'll tell you a quick story about this. You know, Oregon switched to all mail balloting a number of years ago. I knew someone who had a sister. His sister lived there, and she told him that she had voted three times in the last election. She had voted in her name, she had voted in her husband's name, and she had voted under her original maiden name, because ballots were mailed to her home address for all three of those.
You know, this seems to be a problem. We know, and we can go back to what happened in Minnesota when we had the, and what was that guy's name? I'm drawing a blank right now.
Al Franken and Norm Coleman?
There you go, Al Franken. And we know what happened with the ballots being, I forgot. I had a box full of ballots in my trunk, and they just kept counting and counting and counting all these ballots until all of a sudden Al Franken was, 700 in the plus side, and the Secretary of State, a Democrat, immediately certified that election. There is voter fraud that happens. Anybody who doesn't believe that is naive, but it does happen. I know that it happens here a lot in Colorado. Had we had the initiative, I think we could have potentially won the House of Representatives if not for that fraud. Now, I can't prove that. That is speculation on my part, but Hans, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is happening all over the country, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, I work at the Heritage Foundation, and we're putting together a database of just recent voter fraud convictions and cases all over the country. I think we've already got 200 in there. We're putting in more. And And again, going back to Clinton's speech, where she was saying, well, there's no voter fraud. Well, in mid-May, we just added two cases to our database on Texas, some folks who got sentenced down in Donna, Texas, for bribing voters in a local school board election with cocaine, beer, cigarettes, and cash, and another election in another part of Texas that a court threw out, overturned the results because of fraud in an election that was only won by 16 votes.
God. Yeah, I think Hillary's smoking something. It might be that Amendment 64 stuff that we've got going on in Colorado. That voice you're hearing is Hans von Spakovsky. We're going to talk more about election fraud when we come back after the break. Don't go away. Welcome back. Welcome back to Freedom 560. My name is Ken Clark. I am your host. I have on the line with me right now Hans von Spakovsky. He is with the Heritage Foundation. He is also manager of Election Law Reform Initiative and a senior legal fellow. Hans, welcome back, my friend.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it's great to talk to you.
So we're talking about the idea that Clinton in her speech had decided that she wanted universal voter registration, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people talk about this idea, Hans. So let me throw this at you. In fact, Terrence and I were talking about it during the break. When Barack Obama won re-election in 2012, a lot of people jumped up and down and screamed voter fraud. And I remember because I was part of I was involved when the Bush 43 fiasco and Bob Dole fiasco happened in Florida. But we know for a fact that there were a lot of swing states that were going on in the 2012 re-election campaign of Barack Obama. And it's also a fact that Barack Obama won those swing states that don't have voter ID laws and lost those voter those states that they do have voter ID laws. Is that a coincidence?
I think that may be a coincidence. I mean, look, I think we know that there was some fraud. I don't think there's evidence that there was enough to have changed the election outcome. And you know, part of the thing to remember here is, and this is something the U.S. Supreme Court said, look, voter fraud really can make a difference in close elections. And I'm not sure that that election result was close enough for it to have made a difference.
Yeah, it probably wasn't. But, you know, a lot of people like me, and I am one of those, I will admit guilt here. I do like to speculate on those things. But I have seen a lot of races in Colorado that turn out. And, you know, once the polls close, you've got somebody with a 2 or 3 point lead. And then after all of a sudden they count this one precinct that there are all these irregularities, then all of a sudden the voting swings the other way. And you just can't help but wonder. I have eyewitness accounts of voter fraud that has gone on here in Colorado. I have got election watchers who have witnessed election people, personnel inside the offices, filling out ballots and running them through the machines. One person doing them over and over and over again. I've got eyewitness accounts of that happening.
That is the classic way fraud is committed. In fact, a couple years ago, I did a case study of a big voter fraud case in Chicago, and that was exactly how they stuffed ballots in many of the precincts. They took one ballot, filled it out the way they wanted it filled out, and then kept running it through the machine in the precinct. This was after the late in the day when the polls had closed, to basically stuff the count, stuff the ballot box for their particular candidate.
That's amazing. And, you know, it's funny because when you have all mail-in ballots, it's very easy to do ballot harvesting. We've talked about that a lot. In fact, we have a local reporter here, Todd Shepard, who has documented it, videotaped it, how it's possible to do it and how it, in fact, does happen here in Colorado. But let's get back to Hillary Clinton and let's get back to this amnesty thing, because I think the two go hand in hand. And I think they are all driven to drive as many votes for Democrats as humanly possible, Hans?
Oh, no, I have to agree with that. In fact, there was a hearing held in the U.S. House about 3 months ago. I, in fact, was one of the people who testified there, but the other folks that were there were the Secretary of State of Ohio and the Secretary of State of Kansas. And the point that they made was that, you know, part of this amnesty plan of the president is not only deferred action on about 5 million people who are here illegally, but issuing them Social Security numbers and making sure that they can get driver's licenses in the various states. What the two secretaries of state said was that that would make it extremely easy for them to register to vote without getting caught, because they're basically being provided with all of the identification information they need to be able to register and not be detected that they're illegally registering and voting.
You know, and that's a problem. I mean, and people always will make a comment to me, okay, it sounds like sour grapes. It's not. I'm okay to lose as long as I know everything is fair and on the up and up. But let's face it, in this day and age, we don't trust the Republicans. We don't trust the Democrats. We don't trust politicians. We don't trust Washington, D.C. We don't really trust the integrity of our electoral system anymore. And this is a lot. This is a big reason. Now, I've also read a couple times, Hans, and I'm going to ask you to speak to this. Was there some deal that was made long ago between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party that the Republicans, who at that time were busted for election fraud, decided that they can no longer challenge that on that basis? Did something like that happen? Is that just an urban legend?
No. There was a lawsuit that was filed about more than 20 years ago when the Republican National Committee was challenging the eligibility of voters in a couple of states, places like New Jersey. And what had happened was they had actually sent out campaign brochures to voters, registered voters, and they did it by first-class mail. Now, you know, if you send something by first-class mail, the mail service is supposed to forward it. And if they don't have a forwarding address or the person doesn't live there, they return it to you to tell you that no person by that name lives at this address. And what the RNC did was they challenged people whose mail came back from the U.S. Postal Service saying, this person, there's no such person at this address. They were sued in court. It ended up before, a not very good federal judge. And they ended up with a consent decree that the RNC finally agreed to, because things were going against them, saying they would never do anything like that again. So even if they get absolutely clear, crystal information that a registered voter, that it's a fraudulent registration, they basically can't do anything about it.
Well, and yeah, because that's been one of my frustrations, and I never understood exactly what happened in that scenario, but I've always expressed frustration that the Republican Party isn't doing enough to protect the integrity of elections. I guess now we know why, right?
Yep, no, that's exactly it. And they actually tried to get this overturned about 2 years ago. And the judge who had this case 20 years ago is now very senior. He still had the case. He refused to overturn it.
Yeah, well, he's not going to want to overturn a court case that he oversaw.
That's true.
All right. So where are we going with this? What are some of the things that we and my listeners can do to try to protect the voter integrity, not only in Colorado, but nationwide?
They need to try to make sure that their state legislators put in voter ID requirements, and not just for in-person voting, but for mail-in or absentee balloting, too. And the other thing they need to do, they need to follow the lead of Arizona, Kansas, Georgia, that have put in a requirement that says when you register to vote, you have to provide proof that you're a U.S. citizen.
I think that's key, and I think that nationwide we have a lot of support for voter IDs, and you just simply have to prove that you are a citizen. That's all we're asking. That, I don't think, is too much to ask. Do you, Hans?
No, I don't think at all, and it's essential because we know we've got proof that non-citizens are registering and they are voting in places all over the country.
Well, and we have video proof of that happening here in the state of Colorado. You're familiar with James O'Keefe, Project Veritas.
Yep, of course.
He came to Colorado right before our last election, put some of his operatives out in the field, and saw it, recorded it. We have videotape of this happening in Colorado, and he went public with that information.
Yeah, and I'm sure that he was attacked by the mainstream press and the newspapers, right?
He was attacked by pretty much everyone. He really was. Hans von Spankowski, tell my listeners where they can go read your writings, find out more about you, and support your efforts.
Sure. They can go to heritage.org. And if they go there today, I have a piece on a Supreme Court case that came out today with regard to First Amendment political speech.
Okay, real quick, give me a teaser on that one.
This was over a town in Arizona that put in these very restrictive sign laws that basically kept a church from being able to invite people to their services. And fortunately, all nine justices agreed that was a violation of the First Amendment.
Wow, that's terrific. I'll be sure to look that up. Hans von Spakovsky, thank you for joining me on Freedom 560 today. I very much appreciate it.
Happy to do it anytime.
All right. When we come back, when I come back after the break, I'm going to go into detail as to, well, as much detail as I can, as to what happened today in the House of Representatives when it comes to Fast Track Trade Authority and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe what the Republicans just did. They are, in fact, channeling Nancy Pelosi. They are, in fact, using the tactics of Nancy Pelosi, the same tactics that they used to pass Obamacare. And we all know how well that turned out for us. It seems to me when they want to kill us, they're going to do it via cloak and dagger. Before I get into the down and dirty on the Republicans and what a disappointment Paul Ryan has turned out to be, I mean, my God, I will get into that. There are a couple things I wanted to remind everybody of. Tomorrow, I will be the keynote speaker at CRBC, the Colorado Republican Business Coalition, and I'm going to be going into detail on Initiative 20, the single-payer program that is turning into a ballot initiative, assuming they can get enough signatures. And it's going to be a single-payer healthcare program that's going to be basically government run. It's a 10% tax increase. It's going to be a $25 to $35, $45, maybe $50 billion tax increase on the state of Colorado. Right now, our entire budget, the entire Colorado budget, is roughly $23 billion. And this project, this program alone is going to cost, if they're lucky, and if we're very lucky, $25 billion. I'm going to be going into detail on that issue tomorrow at the Colorado Republican Business Coalition. I would ask everybody attend that is able to. It's a monthly luncheon. It's from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Brooklands at the Pepsi Center, 941 Auraria Parkway in Denver. And you're going to learn a lot about it because I have studied this issue. I remember in 2013 when Irene Aguilar, Senator Aguilar, I mispronounced her last name, but Senator Aguilar, she floated a similar bill, trying to get it pushed through as legislation. The fiscal note on that bill was $37 billion a year. That's why I use the number $37 billion to talk about Initiative 20, because we already have a fiscal note on that train wreck. And that was so bad, she actually had to pull it in what was the most, arguably the most radical, progressive, destructive Marxist legislative session we've ever had in the state of Colorado. Also, Krista Huff. Krista Huff is a rock star. She has been going after the TPP and the Fast Track Trade Authority like no one I've seen. This woman knows more about it than anybody. She's going to be speaking tonight at the Loveland 912 Project's monthly meeting, and that is going to be at 605 18th Street Southwest in Loveland, Colorado. If you have the opportunity to go listen to Krista Huff speak, please do. It's in Loveland. She's going to be at the Loveland 912 Project's monthly meeting. And again, that is at 605 18th Street Southwest, Loveland, Colorado. She knows more about the TPP and Fast Track than anyone. And she has really studied this. She goes to Washington, D.C., lobbies about this issue. She has been trying to get it killed. She knows a lot about it, and I think it is a huge opportunity for you to learn what's going on with the Fast Track Trade Authority and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Again, that's a Loveland 912, because we can still kill this. We can still kill it. It's got to go to the Senate. But that's going to be the Loveland 912 Project tonight at 6 p.m., 605 18th Street Southwest, Loveland, Colorado. So let's talk about the TPP. Let's talk about, and a lot of this information I've gotten from Krista Huff. Okay. And so she has kept me up to speed. She has kept a lot of people up to speed. I want to thank her publicly for the work that she has done on this. But you got to scratch your head And, you know, Wayne Allen Root and I were talking about this and during the 1:30 segment. What is going on with the Republican Party? So here's how this breaks down. Here's what happened today. And this comes straight out of Breitbart. And I was watching this. I saw it coming yesterday. We knew that this little jewel was not going to be dead because the people that finance the Republican Party inside the Beltway want this deal. Why do they want it? Because they will make a boatload of money, and they don't care about anything else. They are financing the Republican Party in Washington, D.C. And so the Republican Party has made the decision, we're going to go with our fat cat donors as opposed to what's best for the American citizen and what's best for the country. That's what they care about. That's what they care about. They care about the money. End of story. End of story. Terrence, am I speaking out of school?
Not at all.
So I'm calling it like I see it, right? You believe that same thing too, right?
Yeah, you tend to call it like you see it, and it's rare that I disagree with you.
Well, every once in a while we'll have our moments, but not when it comes to following the money, we don't.
That'll lead you to all the answers you ever want to know.
So here's what happened. This was written by Rich Tucker, and he wrote it today. This comes out of Breitbart. Obama trade is alive. Now, this is something we had thought, and I warned everybody, we had thought that was dead because it died last week based on a weird vote. And we explained all that. And I said back then, this thing might be dead, but they're going to be able to pull the stake at a Dracula's heart, and that heart is going to pump again. Well, here it is.
Well, I'm saying, though, like, money courses through this thing's veins. That is our government. So at the end of the day, it's about a dollar. And if I've learned anything over my years of studying this government, they're going to find a way to make a dollar, and lots of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. So here's how Rich Tucker explains all this. So I'm just going to read it. So hopefully that'll make more sense. 1 week after House of Representatives overwhelmingly rejected Obama trade by voting against a key provision of it, trade adjustment assistance, GOP establishment lawmakers tated trade promotion authority and ramped it through Thursday afternoon. The final tally was 218 to 208. This is what they did. This comes straight out of here. The House action is unusual, as Breitbart News reported. To engage in the complicated procedural chicanery needed to revive the once-dead Obama trade, bringing its trade promotion authority, TPA, portion back to life, Representative Paul Ryan needed to gut a previous bill that passed the House and Senate and then insert Obama trade into it. It's actually a very similar process to how Obamacare passed the House. In other words, they took a bill that had previously been voted on and approved that had to do with funding of firefighters and police. They removed some language and put this language in. That's exactly what they did with Obamacare. And this was the Republicans. This was Paul Ryan. This was Paul Ryan. And lately he's been channeling Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we got to pass the Fast Track Trade Authority in order to find out what's in it. Isn't that exactly what Nancy Pelosi said about Obamacare? Those famous words, we have to pass the bill so that you can see what's in it. Yeah. Yeah. This is amazing. Now, goes on further. Obama trade will face more hurdles, though. Because the Senate passed TAA and TPA together, the individual House version will now have to go back to the Senate for approval, where it may face a filibuster. We can only hope. We can only hope that the Democrats filibuster this train wreck. It is unclear how many senators would support TPA without TAA, and that's the Trans-Pacific Authority, without the Fast Track Trade Authority, a measure to aid workers to lose their jobs because of trade policy. Okay, I misspoke. The TAA is the Trade Adjustment Assistance. I hope I'm not confusing you, but this is angering me. So you've got Trade Promotion Authority, you've got Trade Adjustment Assistance. Those were passed together out of the House, couldn't get it passed together in the Senate. Wait a minute, the other way around. Those were passed together out of the Senate. couldn't get them passed together out of the House, so Paul Ryan stripped them, tacked them on to a bill that had already been passed, just like they did Obamacare, and away we go. Okay? So we're going to have to wait and see what happens with this. The Senate isn't expected to take this up until next week, but Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky has expressed confidence that it can pass. Okay? Here you go. The Republicans are doing with the Fast Track Trade Authority exactly what the Democrats did to pass Obamacare.
And didn't they condemn? I mean, they slammed Nancy Pelosi for doing that.
Everyone did.
So how do you turn around and run her same playbook? I mean, if you'd wondered where their loyalties really lie, I think you're seeing it now.
How much money does it take, Terrence, to sell your soul? How much power does it take to sell your soul?
I know that the starting rate is around $53,000.
Well, that's what Bennett got when he got $53,000 to flip his vote when this was originally going through the Senate. It took them a total of $1.1 million in campaign contributions, all the people that were supporting this when this passed the Senate. That's how much money it took. Okay, Bennett got about, I can't remember if it was 53,000 or 56,000, but that's how much he got in order to flip his vote.
Well, let's just say he was on the low end of the spectrum. He could probably should have held out for more.
I think maybe he was on the higher end of the spectrum, because you got to remember that $1.1 million was spread out through a lot of people. Maybe he was on the low end. I can't remember. I can't remember if he was on the low end or the high end. I'll have to go back and dig up that report. But does it matter? I mean, how much?
I mean, I don't know if there's a price on my soul.
There isn't.
I really don't.
Mine.
I mean, when you think about it, morals are morals. And can you price that out? And if you can price out your morals, you don't have them.
Yeah. And I won't compromise my integrity for anything. And
no.
I'm not going to do it. And, you know, that's just the way it is. But, yeah, Mitch McConnell says, yep, I think he has expressed confidence that this will pass. So Obama Trade is making for an unusual partnership in Washington. Barack Obama is working with McConnell and House Speaker John Boehner, and of course, Paul Ryan, to punch this thing through, to pass a measure his own party largely rejects. This is unreal. I've never seen anything like this. And I'll tell you what, you know, I mean, I just don't believe it. I mean, it is so hard to defend the Republican Party right now. And I'm at a loss. I'm sorry. I'm at a complete and total loss. How do you go out, walk door to door, and with a straight face, tell people you need to be involved with the Republican Party when this is what's happening? When this is what's happening. Take a look at what Wayne Allen Root was talking about with what's going on in Nevada. I mean, how do you do that? You know, if the party itself won't stand on principle, I don't know where to go from there. And that's why I have been on this kick lately, talking about the fact that we have got two different segments of our society. You've got the ruling class and the rest of us.
And that's why the Republican Party is finding it hard to get this new generation on board with the movement, is because, like you said, you go door to door and you're like, hey, this is a good thing. You know, the Republican Party is the way to go. The Democrats are doing it all wrong. And then you turn around, this happens, you have egg on your face, and people are turned off from politics more than ever.
I was having a conversation with Randy Corcoran earlier today. He hosts the morning show on KLZ 560, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. And we were talking about that very thing. Now, there was a time when Randy had burned his Republican card. And he did that over the shenanigans that happened during the gubernatorial race. Okay, when they ousted Tom Tancredo and gave us Bob Beaupre. That was enough for Randy. And he did it in protest. Okay, he burned his Republican Party card. He actually went to he registered to vote as an independent. And he caught a lot of flack for that. And I have been considering doing the same thing over the TPA and the TPP, because this, you know, this is very destructive to the United States of America. When you're talking about a 12-member tribunal having control over the United States economy, and we lose our sovereignty to this 12-member tribunal, an international tribunal, we got problems. We've got major problems, okay? And, I mean, if this thing does go through and Obama is able to push the TPP the way he wants to, that could possibly be the final nail in the coffin of the United States economy, Terrence.
It smells like a step towards a one-world government to me.
Well, that's what it is. This will be, you know, you've got the European Union. This will be the Trans-Pacific Union. And the European Union ain't working out so well for a lot of those countries. This won't work out so well for us because these countries are stacked up, lined up against us.
But remember, as Americans, our American government is very arrogant and cocky. So they believe that, oh, you guys can do it, but we can do it better than you can. So, I mean, at the end of the day, America's the best of the best. So we figure, hey, we can run your one world government. And that's just my idea. We should be the head of the one world government.
Yeah. And the reason that Randy Corcoran had done that was because of the primary and the fraud that took place in Mississippi, if we all remember that one. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I'll have more on this. You won't want to miss it. So what will they do to us next? It's hard to understand. It's hard to believe. And you know what? There are times when you just sit there and shake your head, scratch your head, and try to figure out, okay, what's coming? I want to recap what just happened today, and hopefully I'll make a little bit better sense of it than I did last time. I want to recap what's going on, what happened today in the House of Representatives. This is unbelievable. We effectively were able to kill TPP and TPA last week. Okay, and there's two things, the TAA and the TPA that are happening right now. What do those stand for? Trade Adjustment Assistance, okay, and Trade Promotion Authority. It is the Trade Promotion Authority that is the fast-track authority for President Obama. All right, that's what he wants. That way he can make sure that that treaty that he's promoting, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, can be approved. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is that deal that they've been negotiating on that is locked in secret in the bowels of hell beneath the Congress of the United States, where you can go read it, but you can't take a notepad. You have to sign in. You have to sign a disclaimer saying you will not talk about what you have learned. You will not talk about any of these things. I mean, it's an absolute insane scenario. So what happened today? They killed it last week. So Paul Ryan and John Boehner, who have been working diligently with Barack Obama found a way to pass this thing, and they did it much the same as Nancy Pelosi passing Obamatrade. They tacked it to a bill that had already been voted on, already been passed, and yeah, here we have it. Let's go to Oren. He wants to chime in. He's got a headline on it. This just in. Oren, what's going on?
Hey there. I just got the phone with Senator Gardner's office. And first encourage him to vote against the upcoming bills next week. I called on the break and then asked where he stands. And his office is saying he is, quote, a strong supporter of the bill. And so it sounds like right now his mind's made up. And if we have any chance in getting him to change his mind, I think we're going to have to really light up the phones. I'm not sure if we can, but I made sure to let them know that I went out there. I walked for them. I knocked on doors. I wasn't just a casual voter. Even donated to the campaign. And they need to know that we're not going to vote for them if they even consider a vote on this. But right now, Senator Gardner's office is saying that they're a strong supporter and they do plan on voting yes in the affirmative.
Yeah. Oren, that is very, very good information. Now, he voted for this the first time because he was told to. Who was he told to by? His minions, his campaign financiers, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Mitch McConnells of the world. He was told to. He's a puppet. He is a worthless senator. I mean, his conservative rating is around 36%. We've got Democrats that are voting better than he is on Republican issues, on small government issues. Oren, this is insane. We need to crank up the heat. I mean, there's a reason why he won't go on Randy's show, my show, or Chris's show. He's afraid of us because we call him out on the votes that he made. Oren, I'll give you the last word on that.
I think it's really important to remind people that, you know, you don't have to be eloquent, but you do have to be respectful when you call in. And I told them in the strongest words, I mean, not profane, not mean, but very, very forceful that, you know, this is where we stand. We believe in the sovereignty of our country. We believe in American workers. and he needs to represent our interests and not special interests.
Yeah, well, it's time to light up old Cory Gardner. It is time to light him up. Bennett, you know, maybe if we can find somebody willing to give him, and Oren, thank you for the call and thank you for the update on that. I very much appreciate it. Maybe if we can find some fat cat donor out there that's willing to give Michael Bennett a little bit more than $53,000, maybe we can switch his vote, because we know his vote is for sale. I mean, oh my God. And let me go ahead, Terrence.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, you hear what Oren said, like, guys you really backed and believed in, as soon as they get to Washington, the cesspool that is Washington, they turn their backs on you.
Well, and I was supporting the defeat of Mark Udall. I was never supporting Cory Gardner. You know that. You were my producer back then.
But at the same time, though, there were some people who actually thought Cory Gardner was going to be, you know, what's right.
Yeah.
And you come to find out what's right is not what's going on in Washington, D.C. And money unites and divides at the same time.
I'll tell you what. Politics is a blood sport. There's no doubt about it. But right now, it all boils down to if you've got the money to buy it. And, you know, buy a politician. And it's funny. When I was a little kid, I remember my dad saying this. He goes, look, Ken, if you ever want to go into politics, and I remember as a little kid, my dad saying this. He used to say, if you ever want to go into politics, buy a politician. They're all for sale. And this was 30, 40 years ago that he would say this to me. And he's absolutely right. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's not even that they're for sale. They're for rent. Because, you know, usually when something is for sale, you own that. No, they're just out to the highest bidder. And I'm saying they're for rent because I don't want to use another term but going to the highest bidder. But you get what I'm saying here. It's just like whatever special interest group rolls around, cut the check. Yes, you have my vote.
Yeah, it's time we quit feeding the beast. We have got to fight Washington, D.C. tooth and nail. I mean, it is time for the pitchforks and it is time for the torches. And I want to go back and let me just remind you what the Republicans working with Barack Obama did. The Paul Ryans of the world, the John Boehners of the world. This is what they did in the House of Representatives today. Okay. The House action is unusual. It's come straight out of Breitbart, and this is Rich Tucker who wrote this. Okay, the House action is unusual. To engage in the complicated procedural shenanigans needed to revive the once dead Obama trade, bringing its trade promotion authority portion back to life, Paul Ryan needed to gut a previous bill that has passed the House and Senate, and then insert Obama trade into it. It's actually very similar to the process on how Obamacare passed the House. Let's go to Ken real fast. Ken, make it quick. We're up against a hard break.
I'm just listening to all this, and I think it's time to stop calling the Mitch McConnells and Boehners and Cory Gardners the world rhinos. Stop calling established Republicans. Call them what they are, traitors.
I'm with you.
This is ridiculous. I mean, in secret, really, they're going to hold this thing where you can't even read it, and we've got to. It makes me sick that I have to be grateful to Nancy Pelosi for trying to stop this.
Ken, you're right. I think it's tight. Start calling them what they are. Call them traitors, because I'll tell you what, they are not respecting the American people. They are not respecting the United States the United States of America. Ken, one final thought. I'll give you the last word.
Well, it's nothing more than an end run around our sovereignty. And
yeah.
Wow, I'm speechless. I've got more to say, but you're up. You know, we're up against time, so.
Yeah, we are. Thank you for calling in, Ken. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Don't forget, tomorrow, Colorado Republican Business Coalition, I will be your keynote speaker. It's Friday, June 19th, tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Brooklands at the Pepsi Center, 941 Auraria Parkway in Denver. And also, if you get the chance tonight, go to the Loveland 912 Projects meeting. It's at 6 p.m. And Krista Huff is going to be talking about this very thing, the TPP, 605 18th Street, Southwest, Loveland, Colorado. I will not be here tomorrow. I'm going to be giving that speech. So David Leitch will be filling in for me. So that ought to be a lot of fun. But I will be back on Monday. Till then, have a great weekend.